there. Welcome to the show. It's Gary Zimek. Believe it or not, day 30 of 33 days. Can you believe we're here? Remember when I told you this when we first started? I said, this time is going to fly. Well, here we are, 3 days left. Amazing, isn't it? We are continuing our journey toward total consecration to Jesus through Mary. That's going to be taking place on October the 7th, just a few days away. We are wrapping up the week devoted to looking at the life of Christ. Today we're going to look at one of my favorite stories, the Transfiguration. Today, the purpose is to be encouraged and strengthened by the Transfiguration of Jesus Christ. We'll talk about what it is, why it matters, and how this can help us as we continue our journey toward total consecration. In the second half of the program, we're going to look at today's daily mass reading, so I certainly hope you're able to stick around for the entire show. I do want to let you know a couple of things. Number one, thank you for the recent donations that you've given to my work. I would let you know that I'm still at a point where I need more donations, but I don't want to always be the guy who's saying give, 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 and not say thank you. I'm going to try to respond to each of you personally who have donated, but for the time being, I just want to let you know that I'm so grateful. It's not something that's easy for me to talk about, but it's something that's necessary. If I'm going to continue this work, I'm going to need to come up with financial support from somewhere. You are coming through. Again, I'm at a point where I still need more, but I don't want to neglect to thank you. I'm going to try to write to you personally if I can, but I want to thank you over the air. Thank you for helping me out. Thank you for recognizing the importance of what I try to do here on the program. And my goal, my intention, is to continue going forward with this show even when we complete total consecration. I want to go forward with it, and I'm still not sure what we'll do. We'll do the daily mass readings every day. I'm debating, do we do the interviews from my morning show, Spirit of the Morning, or do we do some of the features that we used to do? I don't know. I'm torn. If you want to write to me at Gary@followingthetruth.com and give me your opinion, let me know. I would appreciate that. That might help me make my decision. I'm asking the Holy Spirit which way to go with this, but we'll see what happens. Anyway, whatever, we've got total consecration to worry about right now. And incidentally, I think I mentioned this on the show yesterday. If you're struggling with what took place, this horrible event that took place in Las Vegas on Sunday night, if you're struggling to make sense of it and to try to receive or try to find some kind of comfort in the midst of all this chaos, I invite you to check out CatholicExchange.com and look at my latest article. I felt compelled to write something about it. I got the lead spot today because the editors recognized this was an important issue. I'm the blogger who writes about worry for them, as well as the National Catholic Register. So I've got that running at the CatholicExchange.com today, how to cope with what went on in Las Vegas. And really, the secret is to turn to Jesus. Sometimes you have to turn the news off. Sometimes you have to stop the endless hours of looking on social media. There's a lot of finger pointing and blaming taking place right there, speculation. The one thing that's helpful at this point in time is prayer. Pray for the victims. Pray for those affected. Pray for peace. And then pray for the wisdom to know what you can do to make a difference in the world. It's really easy to point fingers, but we need to do something. We need to get busy. We need to bring Jesus into a world that's very dark at times. So that's at CatholicExchange.com for today if you want to check that out. In the meantime, let's pray in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us another day. Thank you for allowing us to come together here on the program to continue our journey toward total consecration. Please help us, inspire us with your Holy Spirit, through your Holy Spirit, to be able to learn more about your Son Jesus and to accept the importance of the Blessed Mother in our lives. Father, we present to you our problems. We ask you to have mercy on all who died in Las Vegas over the weekend. We ask you to grant peace and comfort to those who are grieving and who are still in shock from the incident that took place. We lift up our own personal needs. We ask you to speak through me on the program today and open our minds and our hearts so that we can be receptive to your message. And we ask for these things in the most holy and the most sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of Peace, pray for us. Good Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Louis de Montfort, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. All right, you ready to get started? Quick reminder, if you want to find out more about my work or possibly donate to keeping me going, followingthetruth.com is the place to go. All you need to do is click on support. You'll find a number of different ways to support my work. If you are a worrier or somebody in your life is a worrier, you want to check out the latest, the only podcast designed specifically for worriers, check out the Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled podcast that I do every day. You can subscribe to it. The easiest way to do it is to simply go to podcastforworriers.com. How's that for ease? Podcastforworriers.com. All right, today I want to go to the book Totus Tuus, A Consecration to Jesus Through Mary with St. John Paul II by Father Brian McMaster. Today's reflection for day 30 of our 33 days is the Transfiguration. First thing we're going to do is look at Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, verses 28 through 36. Now about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter, John, and James, and went up on the mountain to pray. And as he was praying, the appearance of his countenance was altered, and his clothing became dazzling white. And behold, two men talked with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his exodus, which he was to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and those who were with him were heavy with sleep, but kept awake, and they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. And as the men were parting from him, Peter said to Jesus, Master, it is well that we are here. Let us make three booths, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Not knowing what he said, as he said this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. And a voice came out of the cloud, saying, This is my Son, my chosen. Listen to him. And when the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. And they kept silence and told no one in those days anything of what they had seen. That's one of my favorite stories. That image of Jesus appearing in his glory is one that I think brings us a lot of comfort. You know, sometimes when I go out and I do my talks about how we can break free from worry, one of the episodes I like to illustrate is the Transfiguration. Jesus had some bad news for his followers. If you want to follow me, you have to deny yourself, pick up your cross daily, and then follow me. Then he took them up to the mountain and gave them a glimpse, essentially, of what they can expect in heaven. Then they came down from the mountain, and he said, I'm going to have to be handed over and put to death. So he's got two pieces of bad news. He gives them a glimpse of heaven. That brings them comfort. Let's check in with St. John Paul II and what he has to say about this, the Transfiguration. The gospel scene of Christ's transfiguration, in which the three apostles, Peter, James, and John, appear entranced by the beauty of the Redeemer, can be seen as an icon of Christian contemplation. To look upon the face of Christ, to recognize its mystery amid the daily events and sufferings of this human life, of his human life, and then to grasp the divine splendor definitively revealed in the risen Lord, seated in glory at the right hand of the Father. This is the task of every follower of Christ, and therefore the task of each one of us. In contemplating the face of Christ, we become open to receiving the mystery of Trinitarian life, experiencing ever anew the love of the Father, and delighting in the joy of the Holy Spirit. St. Paul's words can then be applied to us, beholding the glory of the Lord. We are being changed into his likeness, from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Father McMaster goes on to say, return to the words and phrases to which you are most drawn by the Lord. Ponder them reflectively. Then pray from your heart, conversing with the Father, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and or Mary. Then pause and receive from God in some time of silent prayer. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to remind you that this passage came from Luke chapter 9, verses 28 through 36. Luke chapter 9, verses 28 through 36. So I would encourage you to go back and read it again. And then, as Father said, return to the words and phrases to which you are most drawn. Ponder them. Think about them. And then pray from your heart, talking to the Father, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and or Mary about what you were drawn to in that passage. So that's Luke 9, verse 28 through 36. But here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to read it again, just in case you don't do your homework, which I know happens sometimes. I'm going to read it again, and I want you to think about this. Whatever catches your attention, that's going to be what the Holy Spirit is leading you to meditate upon. Now, about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And as he was praying, the appearance of his countenance was altered, and his clothing became dazzling white. And behold, two men talked with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his exodus, which he was to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and those who were with him were heavy with sleep, but kept awake. And they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. And as the men were parting from him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is well that we are here. Let us make three booths, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. And as he said this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. And a voice came out of the cloud. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." And when the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. And they kept silence and told no one in those days anything of what they had seen. All right, whatever catches your attention, meditate on it, think about it, and talk to the Lord about it. All right, Father McMaster continues. "In the mystery of the transfiguration, the splendor of Jesus' divinity is revealed. Moreover, as Jesus Christ fully reveals man to himself, we recognize that this mystery points to our own destiny. As the Holy Spirit is present and the Father is delighting in his beloved Son, we too are to be drawn into the communion of the Trinity through a life of holiness. Blessed John Paul, or St. John Paul II, said, 'Holiness is the living reflection of the face of Christ.' St. Louis de Montfort explains that one of the principal effects of our consecration to Jesus through Mary is a transformation into the likeness of Christ." Think about that. One of the principal effects of consecration to Jesus through Mary is a transformation of you and me into the likeness of Christ. Now, I'm going to ask you, and this is me, this isn't Father speaking, what are the odds you're going to accomplish this on your own? Right? Am I right or am I right? That's why we do total consecration. Here are the exact words from St. Louis de Montfort from his book, True Devotion to Mary. "If Mary, who is the tree of life, is well cultivated in our soul by fidelity to the practices of this devotion, she will bear her fruit in her own time, and her fruit is none other than Jesus Christ." Wow. That's what is going to happen to you when you make total consecration. Suggested resolutions for today. As Peter, James, and John would later be encouraged during their trials by their memory of the transfiguration, draw upon the splendor and light of Christ to dispel the darkness of any fear or discouragement you may be experiencing. Number two, resolve to form a life of Marian consecration, illumined by Christ and filled with hope. Sometime today, pray the rosary. How appropriate is that? We're in the month of October, which is the month of the rosary. So that's what we're challenged with today as we continue making this journey toward total consecration. So I invite you to continue journeying with me. I'm going to take a break, but I'm going to ask you I can't make you, but I'm going to ask you to come back after the break so we can look at the mass readings for today. I'm counting on you to be here. This is Gary Zimek. You're listening to The Gary Zimek Show on Blog Talk Radio. We'll be right back.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. Today I'd like to share an excerpt from a prayer for generosity written by Father Jonathan Morris. Heavenly Father, today I am reminded of Jesus' parable of the rich landowner who decides to build large warehouses to store his earthly possessions. But God replies, "You fool, this night your life will be demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, to whom will they belong? Thus will it be for all who store up treasure for themselves, but are not rich in what matters to God. Lord God, help me to heed the lesson in Jesus' words. Grant me your wisdom and perspective in dealing with not only the money I earn, but also my time, talents, and other possessions. All of these should be and can be used to help others and to glorify you. Amen." This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
And welcome back to the show. Thank you for coming back. I really appreciate it. Boy, I cannot believe that we are actually this close to the finish line for total consecration. Day 30. Tomorrow's day 31. So we got 31, 32, 33. Wow. Amazing. Stay tuned, because as we get closer, I'm going to give you the pep talk just to make sure that you make it to the finish line. All right. Today we look at the mass readings for the Tuesday of the 26th week in ordinary time. First reading comes from the book of the prophet Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 8, verses 20 through 23. "Thus says the Lord of hosts, there shall yet come peoples, the inhabitants of many cities, and the inhabitants of one city shall approach those of another, and say, Come, let us go to implore the favor of the Lord, and I too will go to seek the Lord. Many peoples and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem, and to implore the favor of the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, in those days, 10 men of every nationality, speaking different tongues, shall take hold, yes, take hold of every Jew by the edge of his garment, and say, Let us go with you, for we have heard that God is with you." All right, so what's going on here? Thus says the Lord of hosts. So this is the Lord speaking to the prophet of the prophet Zechariah. What we need to remember is that the prophets were kind of like the go-betweens. They would get a message from the Lord, and what would they do? They would deliver that message to the people. Oftentimes, we think of prophets as foretellers of the future. That was one of their roles, but essentially, their main role was they were a go-between. They were speaking on behalf of the Lord to the people. You know, this was before Jesus Christ came to earth. Once Jesus came, he gave us the full picture of the Father, complete revelation. There was no more need for prophets. So the Lord speaking to Zechariah, "There shall yet come peoples, the inhabitants of many cities, and the inhabitants of one city shall approach those of another and say, Come, let us go to implore the favor of the Lord, and I too will go to seek the Lord." Pointing to Jerusalem. You know, Jerusalem represented more than the location of a temple. That was the center of where worship took place. That's where people came to worship the Lord, in Jerusalem. So that that symbolism is very evident in this first reading. The Psalm 87. You know, Jerusalem represented what? The presence of the Lord. The Psalm makes that clear. The Psalm 87 is our responsorial psalm. God is with us. His foundation above the holy mountains, the Lord loves the gates of Zion more than any dwelling of Jacob. Glorious things are said of you, O city of God. I tell of Egypt and Babylon among those that know the Lord, of Philistia, Tyre, Ethiopia. This man was born there, and of Zion they shall say, one and all were born in her, and he who has established her is the Most High Lord. They shall note, when the peoples are enrolled, this man was born there. and all shall sing in their festive dance. My home is within you. This recognition of the fact that God is with us, God with us, Emmanuel, you know, that is what that means. God is with us. Who is that? That's Jesus. The fact that God the Father sent his Son to become man indicates how much he loves us. He doesn't get any closer. He can't get any closer than that. That's a big deal. That is something that even the Old Testament prophets couldn't fully wrap their brains around. The fact that God would love them so much that he would take on a human body. It's pretty incredible. Let's look at the gospel, then we'll try to tie everything together. Gospel according to Luke, chapter 9, verses 51 through 56. When the days for Jesus to be taken up were fulfilled, he resolutely determined to journey to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead of him. On the way, they entered a Samaritan village to prepare for his reception there. But they would not welcome him because the destination of his journey was Jerusalem. When the disciples, James and John, saw this, they asked, "Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven to consume them?" Jesus turned and he rebuked them, and they journeyed to another village. All right, so Jesus, James, and John, they are entering a Samaritan village. Samaritans hated the Jews. This was not a good place for them to be. They found out these guys are headed to Jerusalem to, really what Jesus is doing is he is headed to Jerusalem now to fulfill his mission. He's going to be dying. This is part of, this is his focus now. Once he came down from the mountain, and we talked about the transfiguration in the first part of the show, this is really what's happening now. Once he came down from the mountain, he set his sights on Jerusalem. That's where he would have to go. Outside of Jerusalem, he would die on the cross to accomplish the mission for which he was sent. He ends up in Samaria. These people don't want to deal with him. And the disciples have a really human reaction. They say, "Let's wipe these clowns out. They don't respect us. Let's nail them." And Jesus said, "No, that's not what we're about." And this is really a message for us. When we encounter terrorism, when we encounter hatred in the world, a lot of times our reaction is we're going to hate back. That's not what Jesus wants us to do. That's why we need the grace given to us by the Lord. We can't do this on our own. A human reaction is an eye for an eye. Jesus condemned that, though. And he wants us to love even our enemies. It's really challenging. It's extremely challenging, if not impossible, for us to do without his help. And that's why we need him. And remember, if you're saying, "Well, you know, I'm a follower of Christ. I'm a Christian, but yet I still despise my enemies. I still want to get revenge. I still want to win every argument. How is this going to be possible? How can I get to the point where I follow the commands of Jesus and do what he said and love my enemies?" Well, remember what I said about total consecration. You know, this all ties in nicely together. In total consecration, the Blessed Mother will work with us, soften our hearts, and turn us into another Christ. Now, I mean, it's not going to happen immediately. There's going to be work involved. You're going to have to do some work too. But as St. Louis de Montfort has indicated, when we consecrate our lives to Jesus through Mary, everything becomes easier. It's no longer an intense effort. It's still work, but it becomes much more doable. You know what happens if it's too hard? If the mission is too hard, we give up. We think, you know what, this is too challenging. I'm really trying too hard to be good, and I don't want to be good. But when we let the Blessed Mother get involved, and again, you know, this isn't fluff. This isn't just some greeting card saying. This is legit. Once you put this into practice, once you go through with this total consecration, things will happen. Things will happen behind the scenes in your life. And that is one of the most often repeated comments by people who have gone through total consecration. And look, I've gone through it. This is the seventh year that I'm renewing my total consecration. One of those comments that you hear most often is, "Man, I've changed. I don't even know what happened, but all of a sudden I changed." Yeah. Because that's the way Mary works. She works behind the scenes in our lives so that we are able to change and we become closer to the person that Christ wants us to be. So total consecration, a really good thing. I'm of the belief that it's not easy for me to do what the Lord wants me to do. It's not my nature. I am a bit of a stubborn person. And I kind of get a little proud sometimes, too. I want to win arguments. I want things to go my way. I don't want anybody to push me around. Well, how am I going to possibly do what Jesus wants me to do? I can't. I can't do it by myself. So if the church is offering me some help, I'd be foolish to say no, because one day I don't want to face Jesus when I'm being judged and try to explain to him. I've said this time and time again. I really mean this. I don't want to have to explain to him, hey, Lord, you know what? Yeah, I wasn't that good of a person, but you know, now that you're judging me, look, I tried my best. And he could say to me, well, did you try everything that the church offered? And if I didn't try total consecration and I know about it, I would have to say, well, yeah, I knew that this total consecration was out there, but I said no. That is a reminder for us of why it's important to go through with total consecration. It's really good stuff. There is no harm to it. And even if you make it and you change your mind, you could say, Lord, you know what? I'm not right. I'm not good with this. Take it back. I'm going to put things back to the way they were. There's no sin involved. You are free to do that. So on October the 7th, you have the opportunity to go through with total consecration. And before we do it, I'll explain the prayer and everything involved. And I want to make sure you know what you're getting into. There's going to be no surprises. You will know the prayer that you pray. We'll talk it through. And we're getting close. If you have questions, please email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. I say this every show, but I want to make sure that you know I mean it. Thank you for participating. Thank you for listening to this program. I do this for you. I do it because I want to help you grow closer to Christ, and I want to help you get to heaven. The Lord has been very good to me, and I want to do this because I know He wants me to do this. Therefore, I turn to you and I say thank you, because your support, your financial contributions, your prayers make my job so much easier. So I want to say thank you for that. I'm going to run now. And again, thank you for listening. God willing, we'll do this again tomorrow. In the meantime, remember the Transfiguration. Take a look at it again. Meditate on it. And then talk to the Lord about the key phrases that got your attention. All right, until we meet again, this is your buddy Gary saying, remember, wherever you go today, whatever you do, the Lord's right with you. Make sure you say hi. Talk to you next time. God bless. The Gary Zimek Show is a Following the Truth production. Our theme music is Sunshine by Kevin MacLeod. It's licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. Find out more by going to incompetech.com. Thanks again for listening. God bless you.